Welcome to Grace Tabernacle. We invite you to join us on the journey to transform people into contagious, wholehearted worshipers and followers of Christ. It is our hope and prayer that this message will be helpful toward achieving that goal in your life. Now, let's join in the fellowship of Grace Tabernacle for a relevant message from our pastor, Gary Washburn, that we believe will lead you closer to the heart of God.
Come here, precious one, beloved of God. God must really love you.
He must, huh?
Yes, absolutely.
This is a precious young woman, a mama, a single mama, with two precious little girls. And she came forward the Sunday before last. And, you know, pastor's been talking about forgiveness. So she came up and she said her body had just been hurting everywhere. And she needed prayer. And I just happened to ask her, was there anyone that she needed to forgive? And she said she believed she had done that. So we prayed for healing in her body. Well, she came back last Sunday. And she said she was in terrible pain, worse than before. And she said she realized she had not forgiven this person that had caused her harm. And so right now, I just want you to tell them what the Lord did for you, Amy.
He healed me. I'm not completely healed, but I am on the process of being healed. I mean, if you look at my arms, you'll see that there is healing in my legs. I wish I would show them to you, but they look terrible, but they're better. All day long Sunday, I kept talking to him, and I kept telling him, I forgave. And that song that you sang, Pastor, just makes me realize that not only can I carry it to the cross, but I have to leave it there. And I brought it to the cross many times, but as I walked away, I took it with me. And Sunday, I left it there. The only way I could get in touch with this person was by email. I sent the email. I didn't hear anything back. I don't expect to hear anything back, but I know when I hit send, I felt so much better.
She, last Sunday, I could tell once we were done praying, she's never fallen out in the spirit, but she did, and she was laughing. She was just laughing. God had given her released her from the bondage. That person doesn't even care, probably, but she's been in the bondage of unforgiveness, and she's been in her own little prison. And God released her last Sunday with joy unspeakable and full of glory. That's all I can say. So thank you, Lord. I just bless Amy, and I thank you for complete and total healing of this skin condition, God. I ask in Jesus' name, Father, that we just, first of all, we just thank you. You already did it on the before you ever went to the cross, when you took the beating, you took the stripes. By your stripes, we were healed. We have been healed, God. It is done now. And we just speak it into Amy's body, that every bit would flow through this skin, all the healing power of Jesus' name, the name above all names, the name above any name that the doctors have tried to give this. We say in Jesus' name, skin, you be healed. All inflammation go in Jesus' name. I just thank you for the joy that is going to continue in her heart, God, and every need supplied in her life in Jesus' name. Amen.
I want to thank, it's not a quartet. What would it be called? The what? Well done. Willing vessels. Well, we got to hear more from you, willing vessels. I like that. And this is Tabitha. She's been new to our church, and she's been on the keyboard. And I really like the way you do that, Tabitha. If you don't mind, just keep playing right now. I kind of like that. come on up. I don't know if I get to preach today or not, but come on up.
Amen. Hallelujah. Miss Lee Steedley, I'm going to ask you to come this morning and stand with me. It's Black History Month. Along with Vicki Belknap, I teach a ladies' Bible study on Tuesdays. And last year, we began to talk about our love for each other, and we began to go around the table and just share a little bit about where we came from and how we were and what kind of life we lived. Would you share just a little bit about what you said? Do you remember?
In the class we were sharing, it was our very first class, and we were introducing ourselves, and I felt privileged to be here because of my background of being an African American. And I'll just share today that my husband and I wore what is called mud cloths, and these are from Africa, authentic cloths with the colors of Africa. But there is a history that goes along with that. And to be here today, I know that we were placed here in Grace Tabernacle. There was some hurt involved, but thank God it's forgiven. God has sent us here, and we had to go through that to get to here. But being in the class, and I just shared, being with the women, the only African American there, and say the hurt that I went through, my parents were not slaves, but they were a descendant of slaves. And I shared the story that I did not know until I was an adult, that my grandfather had been murdered simply because he was a black man. We started off in the country, and he had friends that were white people, and he was allowed to fish in their pond to get food for the family, for my mom and her siblings. And one evening he did not come home, and come to find out he was murdered because some other white guys saw him there and say, "You're not supposed to be here." And they shot and they killed him. And the owner said that he was one of the good ones, and he died and laid in the pond. So you have that growing in your heart. And then going to a segregated school, that when I was ready to take the exam, found out that my school was not an accredited school because they bussed us from our area to go to a segregated school. But this story I've been sharing in my writing class, and it was about, I was there to take the exam, all of my paperwork that I can further my education and higher learning. And they say, "Your school is not a credit school." So they made preparation for me to take the test that I would get a high school equivalent diploma. Got there that day to take the exam. And they say, "You cannot take the exam." Today, I was born and raised in Alabama, born in Utah, moved to Birmingham. And it was in Birmingham, and they said, "Today is for white kids only. You cannot take the exam." My parents had dropped me off and went to work. I said, "I can't go back home. I can't. They won't come until later. My uncle is picking me up." But because I know God loves me, I see it now. They put me in a room across the hall, and the teacher said, "I'm going to give you the exam." They let me take the exam, and I pray, "God, please let me, because I'm afraid they're going to send me out." In Birmingham, Alabama, they turn hose, the water hose, the fire hose. They turn bulldogs because we want the simple right to vote and declare that we were American citizens. But by the grace of God, I told them that God has sent me here. I'm doing things that I never thought that I would be able to do. And that song, Can't Nobody Do Me Like Jesus, I can tell you it's a reality in my life. I had it in my office. The Lord had me working in places where I was the only black. And I stood up for Christ. That sign was in my office because I knew where God has brought me from. Nobody. So when I hear that, Pastor, it is an intimate relationship. And in getting the Black History together, and I said, oh, well, I'm doing on Greg Crouch because I love him, that song that he penned. But God said, no. And you talk about being unselfish. He said, give it to Frida. And look what he did. I can't sing like that. I'm a backup singer. I'm a congregational singer. But because of that day in that class, I was shown such love. We never got to the class that day because every woman in there came to me and talked to me and kneeled before me and said, forgive me for what my ancestors did to your ancestors. So I'm telling you, trust God. And I'm here living the life because of God. Somebody asked me today, you said, you see, I said, I'm bubbling over today. I am rejoicing in the Lord because I know what he did for me. I know where I came from, but by the grace of God, I'm still here to tell the story. And I'm telling you, by the end of this year, God has put a book in my soul and it's coming out in the name of Jesus.
She shared that day also how she was a dental hygienist and she couldn't get a job because she was black. And as she shared those things, my heart broke. You know, the white man, our generations before us, they've not been very nice to other people. And the Lord began to move on my heart to ask for forgiveness. So I went to Miss Lee and I looked at her and I said, Lee, on behalf of all white men, I stand before you in generations past. And I ask you to forgive us for the hurt that we caused, the pain, the slavery, the unjustness. I ask you to forgive us, Lee. Forgive all white men. In every nation, tribe, for what we did. And she said, I forgive you. I forgive you. Hallelujah. Pastor, if you'll allow me, if you're black or African American, would you come and stand with Miss Lee this morning? Just come up here really quick. This is in lieu of Black History Month, and Laverne and I walk home or ride home every week together, and we share about the black and the white, and one day there'll be unity, and there'll be love, and there'll be between us, there'll just be such greatness that it won't be the black and the white, but it'll be the children of God. Amen. The church of God. A healthy church is one that has every tribe and every nation from every corner of the earth. That's a healthy church. That's a God church. As you're white today because of the race that you are, would you stand in the name of Jesus? Just as a recognition, just as a person for all generations, and just shout amen when I get done here. I just want to say, Father, on behalf of all white men and every generation in curse and bondage that was passed down, we ask this culture, this nation of our American brothers and sisters, the black nation, Lord, to forgive us, to forgive us, to realize that it is the same color blood that flows through our veins. It is the same color heart. It is the same color bones. It is the same color marrow that flows through our bones. And God brought us here to love each other and to embrace each other and to give him glory in the name of Jesus. And all the saints said, amen.
Yeah, go ahead and be seated for a moment. But, you know, this is not just a white or black thing. You know, you think about prejudice means to prejudge people. And that's why we're called never to judge people, because we don't have all the facts. Only God does. Jewish people. Cheryl, represent the Jewish folks. Come here. Your ancestors were treated horrible. And even America turned their back when they knew the news for a while, because we didn't want to get involved. And millions of Jewish people were killed because they were Jewish. So that's just an evil, evil wickedness. And then the Indians, Bob Hunt, would you mind standing? He's an Indian. Treated cruel, his ancestors. Took their land and said, no, we're moving you to Oklahoma. You see, it's not just a white or a black thing or a Jewish thing or an Indian thing or an Asian thing or Hispanic thing. It's a human thing. It's called sin. Whenever you treat somebody with disrespect and in an unloving way, the devil will use it. And I was thinking of the scripture in Revelation where it talks about we stand before the Lord. Every tongue, every tribe, every nation. White, black, Asian, Hispanic, Indian, mixture, everything you can think of, everything that ever has been will stand before the throne of God. A beautiful sea of color. Wow. I think God likes color. Look at all of you. Hallelujah. So there will be. I got a great message to preach, but you can't hear. You couldn't handle it right now. It's you've been patient, and I'll give you a little preview. Lord willing, next Sunday, maybe, we'll preach this message. But Wednesday night, we're having a fellowship dinner. The key word is fellowship. We need every one of you here. Starts at 5:30. It's free. It's a donation. If you can give a donation. If you can't give a donation, come. Because we want your presence. God is doing something unique in this church. And every time we meet together, something, a piece of it is added. And part of what I'm going to share Wednesday night goes along with what I was going to share today, which I'll, Lord willing, share next Sunday if we get there. So anyway. Okay, God, how do I wind this down, Lord? Help me land this plane. Scripture, Hebrews 12, 14 through 16 says, pursue peace with all men. Pursue peace with all men. Would you say that with me? Pursue peace with all men. That's Hebrews 12, verse 14. And sanctification, without which no one will see the Lord. pursue, go after, seize peace with all men and holiness or sanctification, without which no one will see the Lord. And sanctification, holiness, means to be set apart. It means that you are a chosen vessel that God has specifically ordained to use in whatever circumstance you're in to be the peacemaker. Not a peacekeeper, but a peacemaker. He has chosen you to pursue peace in whatever this relationship is that's caused you hurt, disappointment, and pain. And we all have them. Last week, Jesus said in Luke 17, it's impossible to live in this world without offenses. It's impossible. No one's exempt. Therefore, we have to pursue peace with all men. Not compromise the truth, but pursue peace. And sanctification, meaning that we have to do things God's way. There's a holy way to do things, and there's an unholy way to do things. We have to pursue it, he said, and sanctification. How does God want to fix this? How does God want me to handle this hurt, this disappointment, this rejection, this pain I have in my life? He has a way. And there's only one way. And it's his way, not your way. And if you'll get out of the way, he'll show you his way. He will. And if you'll say, Lord, I want your way no matter what it costs me, he'll show you. And this thing that seems irreconcilable, it seems there's no way it can be fixed, there's no way it can ever get better, God will handle it. But you first got to get out of the way. Amy Germain shared her testimony. Last week she came right up here to this spot. Pam prayed for her. She needed healing in her body. Is there anybody you need to forgive? Yes. Okay. I think I've forgiven. Well, let's just, okay. And all through the week, turmoil. That week, and her body was in pain. It didn't get better. And God had to show her, you haven't forgiven. You said the words, I forgive them. But those are just words. And Jesus said in Mark 11, he said that if you don't forgive men from the heart, it's just words. It's just words. And when she realized she hadn't forgiven from the heart, Amy got out of the way, and God was able to have a direct line into her life, and the healing began at that moment, started. It's a process. Why does God sometimes heal instantly, and why does sometimes he heal in a process? I don't know. Other than maybe we'd be too quick to run off there and not really deal with an issue deeply in our hearts that we need to deal with. So, if you've got to walk through the process, then walk through the process. Maybe God wants to show you something that you need to deal with that you would not deal with had there not been this pain in your life or this circumstance. Everybody here, at one time or another, lives inside this cage. You offended me, you disappointed me, you said bad things about me. Now get in there. And we have a mental prison, and we lock them. You're not getting out until you're sorry. Stay in there. Don't be laughing. It's a mental prison. What you did to me. And then we daydream. We make movies in our minds for that day. They're going to come to us, you know, and they're going to say, I'm so sorry. And we're going to be able to go, You ought to be sorry. The pain you caused me, what you caused my family, the things you did to me, you ought to be sorry. And we keep them locked up in mental prison. Little do we know. that image of that person, they're not hurting. They may not even be aware that you're upset with them. They're going on about their life. And then we keep them right there. Mental prison. It's called bitterness. See to it that none of you comes short of the grace of God, and that no root of bitterness springing up trouble you, and by it many be defiled. See to it that no one comes short of the grace. You say, well, God allowed this. He allowed so-and-so to hurt me. He allowed so-and-so to rape me. He allowed my wife to walk out on me. He allowed this trouble to come into my life. God, why did you allow that? Ultimately, your bitterness is toward God. Ultimately. Because he allowed what he could have stopped. I cried out for you to help me, God, and you didn't. I cried out to you to deliver me, and you didn't. You know why? Because he was giving grace instead. He wanted you to find his grace. In your deepest hurt and pain, his grace would be sufficient. It would enable you to overcome this thing, to go through this thing, because he's writing your story. And if you were given the pen and you could write your own story, you would never have any trouble. You'd live comfortable. But God's writing your story, and he knows what's best, and he's chosen. Yep, you're going to go through some stuff. I know that's not what you planned. You never saw this happening, but I'm writing your story, and you've gone through disappointment. You never expected to go through a divorce. You never expected to have to deal with this. You never had, this was not in your plan, but I'm writing the story. When I, my sovereign hand allows something to come into your life, I always supply grace with it. See, if something is from God, there's always grace to deal with it. And you'll find things about God that you've never known before had you not gone through this issue. Because it's his story, not your story. It's really about him. So we have these people, we lock them in mental prison, and it's not until we forgive them and let them go and say, you may never get caught, you may never be charged, but you're free. I forgive you. You're off the hook. Your unconditional forgiveness has to be that way. You don't owe me anything anymore. You don't even owe me an apology. And when we do that, you see, we don't realize it, but we had this picture of them, and they broke our heart. We carried this picture of them, and not physically, of course, but mentally, we put them in prison. And when we release them, you don't know what you're doing. When you release that person, here's what's happening. You're releasing yourself. You're free. You release them, but you actually released yourself. Whom the Son sets free is free indeed. And there's no root of bitterness anymore. The hardness is gone because it's all paid in full by Jesus Christ. And so when you give someone something they do not deserve, I forgive you. You're giving them what you've received. I give you what's been given to me, a full pardon. a full pardon, a complete pardon. Oh, me. I mean, everything you've ever done, could think of doing, everything, every wrong in your life, from birth and on until where now and even on into the future of your life, you have been pardoned. How could you withhold that kind of forgiveness toward anybody? Well, you don't know what they did to me. How pain? No. Do you know how much pain it cost the Lord to forgive you? If you do not forgive men their trespasses, neither will your heavenly Father forgive you. I believe that that's probably the most serious blockage to healing. It's all by grace that God does everything he does anyway, but many times God wants us to let go of something so that he can give us something better. You don't want revenge. Not really. You want mercy and you want grace. And today, the Bible says this, come boldly before the throne of grace, that you might receive mercy and find grace. Mercy is received. God just gives it out. Grace is found so that you can deal with that issue God's way. And he'll do it his way in his time. Would you stand to your feet, please? Altar workers, would you come forward? This is a day of freedom, a day of liberation. Jesus came to set the captives free. You don't have to be in this any longer. If you got bitterness in your heart, hurt and pain that's still there, every time you think of an individual that's done something to you, it may go back to being a child. You were molested. A spouse that left you with the kids. A father that abandoned you. Or maybe a racial thing. Maybe a guy that just mistreated you just because of the color of your skin. You've got to let it go. You've got to let it go. And you say, I can't, Pastor. Then let me ask you this. There's a reason you can't. And it could be that you've really never received the grace of God to be forgiven yourself. There has to be a time in your life that you receive freely what Jesus paid for you on the cross. He paid for your sins. And that, when that happens, when you receive by faith this wonderful grace, you enter in what's called salvation. Hallelujah. Salvation. All your sin debt is forever paid. You're as light as a feather. All paid by the blood of Jesus. And at that moment, you feel so light, so free. And once you've experienced that kind of grace, it's really not that difficult to forgive my brother or my sister or somebody else. Maybe they haven't experienced that grace like you have, but you got something. And the reason maybe you couldn't forgive before, because you got to have something before you can give it away. You've got to have this great grace, this forgiveness. And once you have it, you got plenty to give away as long as you live. Now bow your heads and close your eyes. Is there anybody here today that would say, you know, I'm not really sure where I stand. I believe in God. I pray to God and whatever, but I'm not sure that I've been born from above. And right now I want to make sure. Or you know that you're not born from above, then pray this prayer with me. Pray it out loud. Oh God, you hear my prayer. I know that Jesus died in my place. He took my sin and my penalty. He paid a debt he did not owe so that I could receive his grace. And right now, in the best way I know how, I ask you to forgive me of all my sin, past, present, and future. Come into my life and be my Lord. Say it. Come on into my life. You got to say it with your mouth. come into my life and be my Lord and my Savior right now, right now, right now, right now. I take you at your word. Whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. You will not be disappointed, the word says. If you prayed that prayer, as simple as it is, you say, I've prayed it before, but today is a new day.
Thanks for joining us today. We hope that today's message has made an impact on your life and has helped move you closer to the heart of the Father. For more Grace Tabernacle resources, or if you desire further counseling or prayer, please feel free to contact us at 352-748-3255 or visit us on the web at www.gracetab.org.